Week 6 is upon us in the National Football League, and it is time for the Mojo Break Blitz. Cody with you. Alongside me is Doug and Dan. And guys, it was an eventful Week 5. A lot of shakeup in the NFL. Big upsets that happened. A devastating injury for the Dallas Cowboys. Before we talk about Week 6 and what we're going to do this week is focus on some of the quarterbacks, both young and old, who are having interesting seasons. Some guys having huge seasons. Some guys maybe not performing up to expectations. And talk about them and how they are doing in the hobby right now. But Doug, I'll start with you. Just some of your takeaways. What did you see in Week 5 in the NFL?
Red Rocket time, baby. That's what's going down. I mean, when he was on the Bengals, Mr. Andy Dalton, they made the playoffs every year. Granted, they didn't win a playoff game, but I think that Andy Dalton will get the Cowboys to the playoff. I've never been a huge fan of Dak, and everybody was giving him all this praise. He was still losing games. So I think Andy Dalton gets into the promised land. Then he looks. He's like, I'm not wearing orange anymore. I'm wearing blue with a star. I'm going to win some playoff games. And then we have like a Nick Foles situation going on. And Dallas fans love Andy Dalton. That's my takeaway.
Do the Dallas fans love Andy Dalton?
I think they've got a lot of talent at receiver. I think it's better than the Bengals had with A.J. Green and Boyd and the cast of characters. The only guys that remained the same was A.J. Green. They've got Cooper. They've got CeeDee Lamb. They've got Michael Gallup. They've got Schultz. It comes out there as well. He's got a great running back in Zeke Elliott. So, and I think he's willing to erase his past and go forward for that glory hole.
I got one for you. And I you know, Andy Dalton, he is who he is. Yeah, he had some weapons. He put up some numbers. When it came down to crunch time, a must-win game, playoff game, he was terrible. Kind of got that Clayton Kershaw approach, you know? Just can't get it done when it counts. Ben DiNucci. Cody's probably like, what? Who?
You just
Doug's
had
like, who?
You didn't even know his name. You had to look it up.
I know, because I wanted to do a little bit of research. Seventh-round pick out of Baylor? James Madison. So, yeah, you know. What do I know?
Prepared.
But, well, whatever. You don't even know who he is.
Exactly.
You don't know who he is.
That's the point.
So he has stepped up. He is the backup to Andy Dalton. Rookie. And we love the rookies. And I'm going to tie it in. I'm going to tie it into the hobby. That's what I'm going to do right now. He has Redemption Rookie Autos in Spectra that released today. Ben.
All right.
DiNucci.
That's the guy.
He goes for that Jackie Moon full court shot when he's making his picks here, you know.
Forget Burrow. Forget Herbert. Forget him. DiNucci Fever.
Oh my God.
You caught it?
I love the name. It's a football name.
I bet you he's not even second on the depth chart.
No, he is. 100%. I looked it up. That's what I was doing here.
You sure they maybe just haven't updated it yet? You sure they didn't just sign like a Blaine Gabbert type to be the backup?
No, they got the future. DiNucci.
All right.
It's a great name.
Not even saying it right.
It's a good name.
It's a great name. Hopefully I am saying it. Well, if that's not how you pronounce his name, he should change it.
What if it's DiNucci?
It could be DiNucci. DiNucci. But watch out for that. I mean, we love our rookies, and he is in products, and he's in the hottest product that just got released. So get excited. Get it. James Madison. Powerhouse. Quarterback factory.
I think you'd see Colin Kaepernick step in and be the quarterback before you'd see Ben DiNucci hitting the field, to be honest. So
I don't know. Well,
I think that's what would happen.
Okay, well, mark it down here. What? This is episode what?
This would be what? Week six?
Episode six. Mark my words.
Okay. All right.
Week 10 might be like Nucci Fever.
See, he doesn't have a whole lot of cards.
Well, we will see. Hopefully for
I'm gonna take off now because
yeah, that was good. No, there it is. Yeah, end it.
DiNucci.
That's your take for the week.
I think it's
no. That is the hottest of the hot takes that I've ever heard ever.
I thought we were getting an Andy Dalton hot take there, and then that was piping hot out of the oven take.
You're gonna see him this week. Andy Dalton's going to roll out there, and it's going to be the same old Andy D.
Remember this offseason when Dalton first got signed, too?
I think he's got that motivation.
Where there was all these, there were so many people being like, yeah, Dalton's going to be the guy. Even people saying that, there's going to be a quarterback competition in Dallas. I'm sorry, that's just
But you got to admit he's probably the the top five of a backup.
Absolutely. No question. Question about it. And in a bad NFC East, he might be just enough to get them into the playoffs at like 7-9. So it's not completely
ask the Bengal fans.
Yeah.
Would you want another 6 years of Andy Dalton or Joe Burrow?
Nah, give me Burrow.
I think every Bengals fan would be like, give me Burrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, of course, but when you don't have a choice, when you have your franchise quarterback go down, which, by the way, it sucks he just played for that franchise. Yes, he got $31 million, but he was trying to get a 5-7 year deal out of the Cowboys, which didn't happen.
But anyway, what
that'll be an interesting move now.
DiNucci has is he's a rookie, the unknown, and everybody loves an underdog. Seventh rounder. Andy Dalton throws a couple interceptions, and there's gonna be like DiNucci chats.
There's actually
with the 35,000.
That's 50%. The NFC that division is 50% ginger starting quarterback now. All we need is maybe Daniel Jones.
I don't think you can say that anymore.
Oh, that's not politically correct.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
As a man with a reddish beard, I'll allow it.
I have red in my beard, too.
It doesn't matter. It's the Irish. It absolutely, you cannot say that.
So what would be more? I'm honestly, I didn't know that wasn't politically correct. So what's the correct? Red hair? That's correct?
That's a redhead.
Redhead? What's wrong with, like?
Why? We're going to have to go. We're going to have to keep on going to the next segment.
I thought we were going to get
I need updates on the
sensitivity.
Yeah, you can't.
Okay, just know you can't say it.
All right.
Okay.
I thought we were going to get into like maybe an MVP moment for Russell Wilson or a big upset, the Raiders over the Chiefs. Hell, Tom Brady, was it fourth down or not? But DiNucci fever.
Yeah.
DiNucci. And Doug
about.
Dropping the big G.
Yeah.
Does he have red hair?
I don't know what he looks like. If
he walked in here right now,
I know exactly.
I wouldn't be able to
maybe
tell
this
you.
Maybe this is where we were sitting next to Ben DiNucci here.
Could be.
Actually, when I first typed in his name, I typed in Dan DiNucci.
See, you want to be him. You must really like this guy.
He looks like a quarterback. Look at that.
Like Uncle Rico.
Look at that.
That goes a long way.
Looks like Daniel Jones with a beard.
He does look like Daniel Jones with a beard.
We'll see, Dan. Like I said, that's a 1 in a million shot. So.
It's not 1 in a million at all. He's a backup. Anything can happen.
It's 1 of 3 or so, I guess. Really, technically. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the quarterback position that is the focus of the football card hobby. And I thought it'd be good to kind of have a recap here so far of where some QBs are standing. We're not going to talk about some of the bigger ones, like the guys you know where they stand. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. We know where those guys are. But some guys who are younger and some of the veteran guys. We're going to start with some of the rising stars in the NFL, some of the younger QBs. We're going to start with guys like Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, and then maybe this may be the last year we can call him on the younger side of QBs, Jared Goff. But
old man.
The old man of this group here at an old 26 years old, so old. But I thought we should start with the Texans, Deshaun Watson. They fire their coach, Bill O'Brien. They're 1-4. They finally get a win. It's not because of Watson that they're 1-4, though. It's not a good defense right now. I think they're ranked 24th in the NFL. Right now, he's putting up pretty good numbers, 8.9 yards per attempt. He's throwing the ball well, 100 QB rating. And you look at the remaining schedule, especially in a weaker division like the AFC South, I don't think it's completely out of the question that he can actually get that team maybe at 8-8, maybe if you're really feeling good about them, 9-7. So I think maybe Deshaun Watson is a guy to keep an eye on. Kyler Murray, we were talking so much about him at the beginning of the season where he was just on a roll. In those first three games, he had five turnovers in his last three games, I should mention. Two in his first two games. That's it. Five touchdowns overall in his first two games. He was on fire. He's kind of come back to earth here recently. And then Jared Goff. The Rams are 4-1. They're looking like one of the best teams in the NFC. Jared Goff might be the best deep ball passer in the NFL right now. That's how good he has been. And you take a look, if you're watching us, at some of the values of these guys' most recent sales. Dan, I'll start with you. Of those three guys, who's the guy you're keeping an eye on? Maybe a guy who's undervalued, or just kind of your thoughts on any of these three guys here.
So I love Deshaun Watson. I think if Watson was in a better situation, I've talked about it before. He's a top five quarterback in the league. He can do a little bit of everything. He's got a cannon. He's, you know, elusive in the pocket. Bill O'Brien did everything he could to prevent Deshaun Watson from succeeding. I think Doug can probably agree with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got to give you props, Cody. You obviously, you know football. You know how to eye talent. Jared Goff is a beast. He just doesn't do anything wrong.
Besides getting a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
The numbers look good.
Actually, you know what? I disagree. He can't spike the ball to save his life.
That's true. Well, neither can Ryan Tannehill.
So, but Jared Goff, still undervalued.
Yeah.
I don't know what he has to do to get a little love in the hobby.
It's because the uniforms are ugly.
It's not the logos.
It's got to be the stigma of like, oh, he's the moment you take him off the Rams and out of the McVay system, what is he going to be? Right. I mean, that's got to be it.
Jared Goff. The one thing about Jared Goff, and I love Jared Goff, but he's not very like when it comes to interviews and stuff like that, he kind of says the right things. He doesn't really blossom in the limelight and say things that like maybe he shouldn't or have like opinions. He's very well coached to be super even keel about everything. He will never throw his teammates under the bus. You just never hear any drama associated with Jared Goff. And I think that actually kind of affects his hobby value because nobody's ever talking about him.
Yeah.
I'll break it down for you. 2016 was a long time ago. 2017 is a long time ago. Obviously, if you look at all the sales, the one who's selling the best is Kyler Murray because that's the new booty. These guys either need to be a top five out of the gate or people move on past them. Yeah. Jared Goff sold great in 2016, maybe even in 17. But now, you know, it's just he's not been a top five. Watson struggled. And now it's Burrow and it's Herbert and it's Tua and it's Kyler and maybe a little Danny Dimes. And then next year, people are going to forget about probably Danny Dimes. So
no,
like Danny
yeah,
Dimes
nobody
anymore.
Nobody is thinking about Danny Dimes.
I mean there's still
actually,
people heavily invested
I, actually,
in
you want to think about, I mean, how quick everything changes.
Yeah.
And both in the hobby and the actual NFL, Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins has essentially lost his job in Washington. Mm-hmm. Alex Smith comes in. I love Alex Smith.
A great story, yeah.
Great story. It was terrifying to see him come in. To see him come in against the Rams. Rams didn't go light on him. They basically just started rushing him like crazy. I think the first play of the game, he had Aaron Donald like literally on his back. And I'm just like, this is not going to be good TV right here. This is
gonna
be bad.
Well, I mean, the leg seems to be fine. Seems to be,
but then you
modern
look at
medicine,
it.
I mean, it's crazy.
But last year, we were talking about Dwayne Haskins as being one of the up and coming phenom, could be a top 10 quarterback this year, and now he's third on the depth chart.
Yeah, I feel like they pulled the plug on him quick. I mean, I haven't watched a lot of his games, but the narrative in the offseason with Haskins was that his head's in the right place. He's been studying. He's ready to go. The Washington football
Ooh.
Team. Sorry. I'm gonna slip up.
Man, you start talking about Andy Dalton, and you drop the G word, and then you drop the R word, and
I'll put some money in the jar for that one. But no, seriously, I mean, like, why do we pull the plug on him so fast? He was a first rounder, right? He was a first round pick.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I mean, that's one thing about the salary cap era that allows teams to move on from him quick. But I also feel like sometimes they're moving on from them way too quick. They didn't let him. Now I don't know what the plan is. Is it just like, okay, we're gonna have him sit and maybe try him again next year, or is he just done?
I don't know. I mean, it's. The big question marks that I have with quote unquote franchise quarterbacks that were just recently drafted is Dwayne Haskins and Mitchell Trubisky.
Yep.
Did we? Is it over for Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago? Is it done?
I'm surprised it took this long, to be quite honest.
You actually trade up.
Yeah.
And they really wanted. I mean, the Niners fleeced the Bears in that deal.
Yeah.
The Bears really wanted Mitchell Trubisky to be your franchise quarterback. We fast forward, 2.5 years, and he's lost his job.
Which is funny because he only played 1 year in college, so he had a lot of maturing to do, and the Bears were ready to make that a project, but now obviously they're like, no, we're not making it a project.
Where's the issue? Is the issue with the advanced scouting these quarterbacks? Is the issue with maybe a specific front office? There's a scout that is really good at selling a certain player for a certain system.
I think it's in the NFL, especially in the draft. I feel like more than any other sport, and maybe this goes into advanced scouting, they overthink it. Like, there were so many guys. Trubisky was in the same draft, Mahomes.
And Watson. Right.
And Watson. That was the one, to me, that stood out. We all watched that game, that national championship game, and Watson was the best player on the field. He was incredible. And it was just like, don't overthink this. That's the guy. Why are you taking a guy who nobody watched, only had 1 year of football under his belt playing in college? I think more than any other sport, they overthink it.
Imagine Watson on the Bears. I mean, maybe they don't go with Mahomes, but Watson was the clear-cut choice. You know, and I think some of these scouts and some of these agents and some of these GMs, you know, and we had that sometimes with the guy who's the GM before Lynch with the Niners.
Balky.
Where it would be like, I'm going to draft an Alden Smith out of order because I'm going to look like a genius rather than taking the sure bet.
But he did look like a genius.
He did.
Well, maybe
first,
on Alden Smith, but like
it was just
there was plenty of guys. Well, he obviously had character issues, but there was plenty of guys that he drafted that everybody went, ooh, and then it didn't pan out.
Reuben Foster.
Right.
Well, Reuben Foster had other off-field issues too, but there was like receivers that he would take like in the first round that were supposed to be third rounders, and it was almost like an ego thing. Like, I see things that other people don't see. It's like if I go to Vegas and I'm going to take the 500-1 shot because if it pays off, I'm going to look like a genius rather than just taking the easy bet, which would have been which would have been Watson.
It's the Ben DiNucci approach.
Yeah, it totally is. Live and die by Ben DiNucci.
Real quick on Kyler, who was just the talk of the hobby going into the season, and those first 2 weeks, he's just looked incredible. And it was like, here it is. This is the breakout season for Kyler Murray. I should say in those first two games, he had 158 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. In the last 3 games combined, 138 yards rushing and 2 TDs. So he has fallen off a little bit. What do we make of where his value is sitting at right now? It hasn't really been affected by his performance as of late. Do you guys see things kind of, if he keeps this up where he hasn't been bad per se, he's just kind of not being what he was in those first couple weeks where he just looked so electric, so dynamic. Where do you think his value is by the end of the year? If it's another season where the Cardinals maybe are 6-10, 7-9, they don't make that playoff push.
I mean, I think next year is his make or break season. I think this season being a second full season, you know, last year being his rookie campaign, I think you got to give him like, you know, if he hovers around 8-8, I think that's a success.
Yeah.
And that builds upon into the next year. And then I think next year he's expected to make the playoffs. I think it's a development thing with him. I mean, you got to learn the game. Most guys don't learn the game right away, but he is a dual threat and quite possibly could be the best dual threat of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before that that division's tough. It's tough to win games in that division. And if you look at the NFC West minus playing the NFC East, they all have a pretty tough schedule.
Yeah.
Besides having to play each other, the Kyler, I agree with Doug. I don't think you can really judge him on this year. They need some pieces around him. They have a great, great receiver core that they're basically working in. D-Hop is having a career year. Larry Fitzgerald, the ageless wonder, still out there. You know, I turn on a Cardinals game and he's basically going right up the middle, just doing the dirty work, getting the first downs, keeping the drives going, and all that allows Kyler to really spread out the field with his legs. but they need a little bit better offensive line. They need a little bit better of a balanced attack. I think they need a better running back in that system, and they need some pieces on defense.
Absolutely. But Taylor Jones is a beast.
They need – you can't just have –
need a little bit more.
You can't just have one guy. Patrick Peterson is probably on the back nine of his career at this point. I think they still have Hassan Reddick, but I think they're talking about moving him. Because that's another thing. We got the there's going to be some moving and shaking coming on in the next week or two. We have the trade deadline, which I think is November 3rd. So there's a lot of rumors going around. The Niners are rumored with a lot of deals in the works. Maybe a Matt Ryan or a David Njoku.
It's all clickbait.
I don't know why the Niners need another tight end. I don't look at the Niners team and I'm like, man, you guys just have a really big hole at the tight end spot. I think it's like the one position you guys don't have a hole in.
Right. Well, I mean, we did lose Jordan Reed. I don't know if he's coming back.
Did he get hurt?
Of course he did.
And that awful New York trip from hell. He was one of the casualties.
But it's funny how these reporters, these clickbaits, it's like, Shanahan used to be the offensive coordinator for Matt Ryan, so they must be best friends. They're going to trade him. It's like, how do you guys know that? Just because somebody worked with somebody? So is there a coach out there? Like, look at like Mike Nolan. How many teams has he been on? So is it all of a sudden he likes everybody on the league? It's like,
But I actually think there might be a little substance to the Matt Ryan rumors just because Quinn was fired and the GM was fired. So to me, it looks like it's time to clean house.
So who's going to play quarterback for the
Falcons? It doesn't even really matter at this point.
But you're like, not mathematically eliminated yet.
Basically, if they trade Matt Ryan and they can get a third and maybe a fifth round pick.
We got to remember that.
I think the scenario that people are really using the clickbait is that it's going to be a straight across trade Matt Ryan for Jimmy Garoppolo.
No.
That's not going to happen.
No,
that's not going to. I think it could be a deal where Matt Ryan comes in and then you have maybe a Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo's like, my ankles hurt a little bit more than we thought. So we're going to throw Matt Ryan in there.
Yeah, but you can't clean house in week five because they could go 8-3 and make the playoffs. Very hard to do. But we got to remember there's an extra team this year. So why, if you were a Falcon fan and they traded your franchise quarterback.
He was drafted in what, 07?
Yeah.
08.
08?
Yeah.
It's time.
He went to a Super Bowl.
It's time. 12 years in the league. The Niners, I think, if they were to move away from from Jimmy Garoppolo, there has to be a stopgap. I think Matt Ryan would be a good solution for a 1 to 2 year span where you draft a franchise quarterback out of college. You know that having that good solid rookie quarterback on a rookie contract is basically the modern way of building a win.
The Niners are not going to move from Jimmy Garoppolo during the season. The guy just wins the Super Bowl, had one bad game.
Traded him away during the season.
Yeah, but they had Tom Brady still.
I'm not totally sold on that. I think that he looked really rough against Miami. And yeah, he was coming, probably was playing on a bad ankle, probably rushed himself back onto the field. But it was kind of remarkable how bad he looked.
He beats the Rams this weekend, and nobody even remembers
the
Miami game.
I've been a Jimmy defender, but he has not looked very good when he has been on the field this year. It's just that simple. So I think that if he always kind of felt like he had that status of, like, is he just the stopgap here? And we always knew how much Shanahan really liked Kirk Cousins, and that rumor never really died. And now you've got a guy with the Falcons are 0-5. You got a guy like Matt Ryan. It does make a lot of sense. I don't think that it just was plucked out of thin air. I think there is something to it. I think there's a little bit of juice. We'll see. Well, let's talk about some of the other veterans in the NFL that have had really great years so far. Two guys who are contemporaries. One guy who the baby of this group at 29, Derek Carr. But the three guys I want to highlight here, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, and Derek Carr. Starting with Carr, huge win against the Raiders. The Raiders had a huge win against the Chiefs this weekend going into their bye week. And Carr has career numbers right now. I feel like, especially, and I'm sure Raiders fans will tell me all about how he's been an incredibly frustrating quarterback for the last few years. But it wasn't that long ago where he was one of the MVP favorites when the Raiders made their way back to the playoffs. And so far this season, 8.2 yards per attempt. That's a career high. 73% completion percentage, 11 touchdowns, 1 interception. Only two quarterbacks have a higher QB rating than him right now, and that would be Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. So I think he's a guy that's interesting to watch. And then the two guys who are going to be surefire Hall of Famers, Ben Roethlisberger. Steelers are 4-0. Not really because of Roethlisberger's play. The Steelers' defense is the number one ranked defense in the NFL right now. And Roethlisberger right now, the lowest yards per attempt in his career at the moment. So maybe not so much because of him that they're doing well, but I think it's interesting to watch, especially if the Steelers make a deep run, what that does for our mindset of Roethlisberger's place in history. But then Aaron Rodgers, who I think has maybe been the best quarterback in the NFL this season at 36 years old, is having one of his best years in the league. Only starter left without an interception. I want to start with Rodgers, and Doug, I'll start with you. I feel like when we're talking about QBs in the hobby, Brady, obviously, Mahomes is the guy right now, the hot guy right now. But then there's Aaron Rodgers, who I feel like he's got a Super Bowl. He's had all the years of success, all the statistics. If he's able to get back into the playoffs, get back to the Super Bowl, let's say he wins a Super Bowl, where does that place him? I'm not talking all-time QBs. I'm just talking strictly in the hobby. Where does that place him? Does he just under Brady? Does he jump over Mahomes in terms of how much, you know, people covet him? And
He should be right next to Roethlisberger, right? But I guess people don't like Roethlisberger. He's already won two Super Bowls. But
the stats. Come on, people love the stats.
But I mean, I feel bad for Ben Roethlisberger. I feel like he should be more loved in the hobby. I mean, him and Eli Manning, who came out of the same draft, never get any love for winning those Super Bowls. It's always somebody else on the team that won the game. But Rodgers is beloved in the hobby. I think he's definitely in the hobby era with contenders and stuff like that. He's top five, maybe even arguably number two behind Brady, because we didn't have, you know, Favre contender autos. We didn't have Montana contender autos. So I think in the contenders era of things, the parallel era, we call it, I think Rodgers is right behind, Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think with Mahomes, there's the uncertainty. He's still very young, so, like, what is he going to become? Is he going to be better than Brady? With Rodgers, the script has already been written, pretty much. We know what we're getting. He's at the tail end of his career. But in the contenders era, I would say it is Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze, because Breeze also has a contenders auto.
Yep.
And then, like, you're right. Roethlisberger, what does he have to do? And I got to say that, I mean, Mike Tomlin might be one of the most underrated coaches in history, because people do not talk about him enough.
Is he the longest tenured coach at the moment, right? He has to be, right?
He's close if he's not. Belichick.
Belichick and him,
but,
right?
Yeah, I think he's not far off.
But people talk about Belichick constantly.
Yeah.
He's a genius. Look what Tomlin did last year with his team. His quarterback goes out. Mason Rudolph, I don't know if he was actually the second string last year. He might have been the third string.
Right.
They might have had somebody. I think it was, I think they traded Joshua
Dobbs. Devlin.
Yeah, Devlin.
Hodges.
They had Devlin.
Yeah.
So he had a carousel of quarterbacks, still able to be consistent, still able to win games. It had kind of a makeshift defense. They made a couple moves. They got Minka Fitzpatrick. But Tomlin just doesn't get enough love.
And I think
Tomlin actually very similar to Roethlisberger. If you look at Roethlisberger in the hobby, doesn't get a lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about the Steelers? Are they just expected to be good?
That's what it is. I think it's, to me, the Steelers, to compare them to baseball, they are the Cardinals of football. Like, they're always good. They always churn out talent. But they're not interesting to, unless you're a fan of that team. I think to the outsider, there's never like a player who pops and it's like, wow, this is the guy to watch right now. I mean, Cardinals had like Pujols and stuff early on, but I always feel like they're a team that's just like, oh, there they are. And the same goes with the Steelers. Like, there they are. They're just expected to be among the class of the NFL. So I think for a lot of fans, that comes off as boring. That's just like, it's the same guys every single year. And they win a Super Bowl here and there. They kind of sprinkle problem across. So maybe that's what it is. And I also think Roethlisberger, throughout his career, as great as he's been, and with all the Super Bowls, has he ever been the best quarterback in any season he's played? And I don't think he has.
You can't judge clutch, right? You can't put that on stats. You can't look at how many clutch moments a guy's had. But I think as far as a throwback player, this guy is a true throwback player. I mean, how many times does this guy get looks like he's not going to make it off the field, and then he's back in the next play? Granted, last year his arm was, you know, he couldn't play. And you've seen him in the sling. You've seen with the robot arm he had pretty much on. Nobody thought he was even going to come back. Comes back this year, is playing at a high level again. I mean, there was that playoff game where his arm was out of the socket. They put Landry Jones in. Landry Jones threw a pick six. And then Roethlisberger's out there the next drive with a busted arm. And he's just playing. You know, it's like this guy is a true warrior. And it takes a lot for him to not play. I mean, he may be playing for another 5 or 6 years. You never know.
Demoralizing to Landry Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you basically are the backup quarterback on a team, your starting quarterback gets his arm ripped off, and they have more confidence in him with one arm than you with two, that's pretty tough. It's pretty tough to take. I mean, I don't. Where's Landry Jones now?
Yeah, who knows?
I think he was in the XFL, wasn't he?
He might have been. I know he bounced around.
He was
a little
star.
Bit.
I think he was one of the bigger names.
That's right.
In the
XFL. Yeah. Well, it's coming back next year. Apparently.
Or was that AFL? I get him confused. It was one of those spinoff leagues.
XFL. Oh yeah, the AAFL or whatever.
Is the XFL coming back next year?
It's coming back.
It's coming back. With The Rock.
The Rock is one of the co-owners of the XFL. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think. Yeah. Anyway, without COVID, I think that would have actually worked out. But, you know, here we are. Real quick, what about Derek Carr? I feel like I've been placing him in a lot of the discussions the last few weeks on here on the hype. But he really is putting up great numbers right now. And after a huge win against the Chiefs, is this a turning point? And I looked at the rest of the schedule for the Raiders, too. After they get out of the teeth of this schedule, they got the Buccaneers. They got some tough matchups. But then I think after week 8, it becomes a very easy schedule other than one game against the Chiefs. A lot of winnable games and I think 2 against the Chargers, 2 against the Broncos there at the end. Raiders make the playoffs. Derek Carr keeps this up. I have his value up here for one of his cards that recently sold as Prism. And obviously compared to the other two quarterbacks, it pales in comparison. Do you think that there is a chance here for a big leap for Derek Carr?
Yeah, I mean, I do, but it's I think he's a great investment at this point. But I also want to point out the fact that this guy's in the same draft class as Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jimmy Garoppolo's actually went to a Super Bowl, but we're praising Derek Carr and we're ready to trade away Jimmy Garoppolo. Isn't that funny how it works? Derek Carr's actually played a lot more seasons than Jimmy Garoppolo has, but Jimmy Garoppolo's garbage at this point.
Derek Carr never had the defense that the playing with him that the Jimmy Garoppolo did.
The thing about Derek Carr, though, that's been bizarre as Gruden has come in, the first thing I remember when Gruden took over, there was rumors going around that Carr isn't his quarterback. Yeah. That's not the guy that he wants running his
Mike
offense.
Glenn.
Or
Peterman.
No, Peterman, and even in the offseason.
A.J. McCarron they had that one year.
Even in the offseason, they go out, they sign Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, there it goes. Gruden found his guy.
Yep.
He found his guy. Well, Mariota has been injured. He's not even the backup right now. I think he's on injured reserve.
Not a factor at the moment,
What I love about Derek Carr is that he truly has bought into Gruden's system.
Yeah.
And
he's a great leader too.
He, with 11 touchdowns and one interception, that basically tells you that he's doing everything right and he's being smart.
Yeah.
Now he isn't throwing for 450 yards and 6 touchdowns a game, but he's doing what he has to do to win games. And I think the Raiders do. I think they do make the playoffs. I don't think they win the division. I don't think they're going to be going to a Super Bowl. But I think they are a team that is really putting it together.
Yeah.
And they could be winning that division in the next year or two.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, yeah, and it also helps, you know, on those game planning when your next door neighbor also happens to be your head coach. Is that that happened, right? Like, I feel like I heard that all offseason that Gruden was buying a house that was going to be right next door to Derek Carr in Vegas. So,
yeah,
I guess you got, like, teacher watching over you all night, so you better be good. Yeah. Let's make some picks, shall we? It's a weird week. There was no Thursday night game this week. Two Monday night games because of the COVID push last week. Are the Patriots going to play? Who knows? It's all wonky right now. But, yes, Doug, as you said, back in it, back at 500, 2-0 last week, whereas Dan and I split 1-1. So, Doug, I'll let you start. Since you did go 2-0 last week, who you got in
week 6? I'm going with the Giants over the Washington football team. I think the Giants have looked good the last couple weeks. They're at home. Washington's a mess. I don't know, you know, if Alex Smith is starting, if Allen's starting, maybe Haskins is starting. Who knows? So I think the Giants get that victory. They get that win. And then I'm going with the Titans over the Texans at home. The Titans have been absolutely electric. I love Deshaun Watson, and I won't be disappointed if the Titans lose because I do like Deshaun Watson. But I think the Tennessee Titans, they've had a couple weeks off. They just played on Tuesday, but they're rested up, ready to go. Derrick Henry's beasting out there. Ryan Tannehill's doing I don't know what he did on that touchdown celebration, but I think there's going to be more of that this weekend.
Dan, who you got?
Man, I gotta win again so I can go first because I keep on going after one of you guys and we're picking the same game. So, first up, I am taking the Sunday night game. I'm going with the Ramley. Whose house? Rams house.
Ooh, I like it. You just jinxed yourself.
So, Rams gonna, unfortunately, they're just gonna lay the beat down on the Niners. Could be the end of Jimmy Garoppolo's era in San Francisco. No. And, yeah, I think it's low-hanging fruit on that one. That's an easy win. And then I'm going Titans over the Texans.
Over your Super Bowl pick again.
You know, over my Super Bowl pick again. But the – it's tricky because it could be a trap game. You saw what happened. I mean, last week, they turned the corner. They won their first game. They're on a winning streak.
Yeah.
They got one game streak. But Tannehill looks great. That defense looks great. Balance attack with Derrick Henry. Titans better watch out. They may be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Could be. It's funny. We all three picked the same AFC matchup, but maybe a little different for me. But first off, I'm going to start Cardinals. I think are going to defeat the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night. Cowboys, I just think
I almost took that one too.
I think the Prescott injury is devastating, and I know Dalton is about as good an option as you could have as a backup QB, but I think that's a really demoralizing injury, and I think that Kyler is going to turn things around and pick things up here against the Cowboys on Monday night. Time to shine on Monday night. So I think the Cardinals are going to win. And yes, I am going to pick that Texans and Titans game, but give me the upset. I'm going Houston. Houston over the Titans, that Tuesday game. I think it messes with the schedule, and I know they had all that time to rest, which is why I think they look so good on
Tuesday.
Wait,
that game's on Tuesday again?
No, it's not. Okay. It's not, but I'm saying they played Tuesday this week.
Yeah, I mean, short.
It's a short week.
The shortest week.
You know what? The shortest week.
Yeah, because they're actually playing at 10 a.m., I think, too, right? Or West Coast time.
And I think that Houston thinks, you know what? They've lost to teams that are good teams. They haven't lost to a bad team. You could say Minnesota, but I think Minnesota thinks they're a lot better than 1-4. So I think Houston thinks they're a lot better than 1-4. Going against the Titans team here that, like I said, on a short week, Deshaun, I think he's going to have a big game. Give me the upset. Give me the Houston Texans over the Titans.
I like it.
Yeah. I like it too.
Well, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of the Mojo Break Blitz. Of course, check us out here on Mojo Break Media. We got plenty of other videos, baseball, football, the hype, highlights, all of that and more. Check out Mojo Break Card Shop, where we got personal breaks coming up soon. And, of course, our main feed, Mojo Break, for all of your live group breaks and personal breaks. For Doug and Dan, I'm Cody. We will talk to you next week on the Mojo Break Blitz.